Amen. Praise God. I'm so glad we got some souls on fire for the Lord today. I trust that if your soul ain't there already, that you're on your way. And that if you ain't on fire yet, but at least just get close to somebody who is. Maybe you'll catch. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Worship has been inspiring today. I just want to say as well, as I was sitting there, you know, I was thinking about the fact that how I have gotten out of the habit of doing announcements and everything. Pastor David's been so good to kind of take on so many different things. And it just reminded me of the fact that there's a lot of things that I do that just aren't polished, right? And I don't know why that's so funny to you. I didn't realize what I was saying there, apparently. But I hope that, in all seriousness, though, I hope that that's something that as you are just here in worship today, or even as you might connect with us as a church body, just to reaffirm the fact that if you aren't polished, praise God, it's all right. You might not be all the way there yet, but praise God, we're all on our way. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just so thankful that, because sometimes the devil might try to convince us that if we're not polished, we shouldn't be here. And I just want to acknowledge the lies of the devil today and just speak truth over top of that and say, you know what, even in those things where we might not be getting it right, we might be stumbling over ourselves and we might be wondering, what in the world is happening right now? God is at work in your life, and it is good to be in the house of the Lord, amen? And even if things don't go 100% right 100% of the time, God is still God all the time, and so we can just come and be in his presence and know that he's got a word for us, even if we might be a little messed up, right? Amen. Even if we might be a lot of messed up, so I praise God. Along those lines as well, I forgot to mention something during the announcements in regard to volunteer appreciation. Not only are we, in all seriousness, I'm so thankful for the work that God is doing through each and every one of you as part of this church, but I know that a lot of you have some encouraging things to say to people as well, and so you might have noticed the brown bags on the table. Somebody asked me, are those sack lunches? No, I'm not planning on preaching that long today, all right? I'm not planning on preaching that long. I'm not planning on preaching that short either, but I ain't planning on preaching that long. So what we've done is, I think, now there might be a couple that aren't there, but I think that we have everyone who has volunteered for something over this last year, your name is on a label that's on a bag. And so you might have people that have been learn group leaders, or maybe that have worked in the nursery or in children's ministry or even up on the worship team that have just particularly blessed your life, and you just want to give them a note of encouragement, right? Those bags are for you to leave a note of encouragement for those individuals. For us as a staff, we're gonna do what we can to bless your life as well. But you might have a word of blessing for people as well. And so there's some paper and some pens. Love for you to fill out just a word of encouragement, put it in somebody's bag that has blessed your life. We did this last year, and it was a really, really powerful thing. And so I just want to encourage you, whether you do that today, they're going to be out there all month, right? So if you don't do it today, you'll have another chance. But really, really great time to encourage some others there. Now, let's jump into the word here. Eventually, we're going to get into Deuteronomy chapter 6. And so if you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles there, Deuteronomy chapter 6, we'll get to that here in just a moment. Sometimes, I have to admit, sometimes I wonder if I have what it takes, right? You could probably fill in the blank for which area of my life that might apply. But I wonder too if that isn't a question that we all kind of ask ourselves sometimes. Do we have what it takes? Do we have what it takes as a follower of Jesus Christ, to be faithful to him? Do we have what it takes as a pastor, right, to lead a congregation effectively and faithfully? Do we have what it takes to lead our families well? Do we have what it takes to actually glorify God in our workplaces and on our jobs? Do we have what it takes to share the good news of Jesus with somebody else? Do we have what it takes to be a good husband or a good wife? Do we have what it takes to be a good son or a good daughter? Do we have what it takes to again fill in the blank there? Do we have what it takes? You know, I think sometimes it's really easy for us to kind of discourage ourselves, right? Because we see people around us, and the people around us seem to have it all together, right? They seem to, like, all the ducks are in a row, the T's crossed, and the I's dotted, and it's like man, like, they got this stuff going here, and I just feel like I'm missing the boat, right? And sometimes the devil can start asking us questions like, are you sure you have what it takes? Like, are you sure you can really do this thing? Are you sure you're really saved? Like, are you sure you're really called from God? Like, are you sure you can really make an impact in somebody's life? And again, I just want us to acknowledge the lies of the devil so that we can shine some light on the truth of God today, right? The question is real, and it's a good question to ask. Like, do we have what it takes? But really, we need to look at this through a very clear lens that God has for us. And so here in just a moment, I'm going to read out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, but before we do, pray with me for just a moment. Lord God, we come before you even now, recognizing, Father, that there are so many ways in which we don't have what it takes. Our strength is not enough, and we just acknowledge that right off the bat here, Father. We are in need. And Lord, we're looking to you right now. We're looking to you to fill the need that we have. We're looking to you to fill the gaps that we recognize. And so, Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours today, God, that your message would be proclaimed in this place, God, that even beyond what I say, God, that you would speak through your Holy Spirit, God, that you would speak into our lives, God, that you would help us to hear from you and to respond to you and to say yes to you today. And we just thank you for your faithfulness to speaking. Help us, Father, to be faithful to you in the way we respond. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want to start out just by reading the very first verse, which is not a complete sentence, by the way. So that might mess with some of you. But I just want to read verse 1 out of the NIV. It's not a complete sentence, so it's all right. Says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So let me give a little bit of background here. So Deuteronomy chapter 5 is where we have an account of the Ten Commandments, where Moses is basically just kind of giving the Israelites a lowdown on sort of a history of themselves, right, before they go into the promised land here. Throughout the whole book of Deuteronomy, this is what he's doing. And so if you think about it, Deuteronomy is just this one huge story that Moses is telling the Israelites before he dies and they go on across the river, right? And so in this, he talks about how God was speaking from the mountain, and the people were like, oh, God, don't let God talk to Moses, don't let God talk to us anymore, because if God talks to us, we're going to die, right? Like, they recognize the awe of God in such a way that they were like, no, don't let him speak to us. Moses, I love this, Moses, you go talk to him. Okay, now, first of all, like on one hand, like, that seems like very honoring of Moses, like, oh, Moses, you're close to God, like, why don't you go talk to him, you know, in the face-to-face and what you do and everything, but on the other hand, like, they were afraid that if God talked to them, they were going to die. And so they're like, hey, Moses, why don't you go? I'm just saying, if you're afraid to go somewhere because you're going to die, please don't send me, right? That's all I'm saying, right? But we know, I mean, obviously it all worked out. And so God gave Moses the commandments, and Moses came down and told them. And so as we get here in chapter 6 then, he's talking about the commands, decrees, and laws that were given by God to Moses to give to the people. He says there, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Now, what I want you to recognize in this is who it is that Moses is talking to, right? There is a very particular audience here that Moses is speaking to, and that is his direct audience, right? And in that, he's telling them, first and foremost, that God had given him some commands, and so now he's giving them to his direct audience in order that they might observe these commands, decrees, and laws. Now, I say all that to kind of step back a little bit. Coming up in about a week and a half, my kids are going to start school. Praise God. And amen. That was on behalf of their mother, by the way. That was her testimony I was giving. I don't ordinarily give testimonies for other people, but that I did there. And I want to give you a snapshot of what this day is going to look like before it even happens. All right, I'm gonna let you know. I'm gonna just tell you right now what it's gonna be like, because I can see it coming. Right. So we start getting our kids up around 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. I know. Hey. I know. I told you the story was gonna be rough. All right. So usually I go upstairs and I start shaking people and waking them up and everything, gently, of course, you know. But I can tell you right now that as soon as I start on that first day, that first day, right? It's like they ain't never been to school before. They try to roll over with them covers and everything. Like, they didn't hear me say. And then I got to do that thing. I'm sure you all don't do this, but I got to do that thing from downstairs, where I yell upstairs and say, "I know you heard me," right? "It's time to get up. Don't make me come up there," right? Oh, my goodness, who does that? All I want them to do is get out of bed, right? Just get out of bed and come eat some breakfast, right? So then they'll finally get out of bed eventually, right? And then they'll come downstairs and they'll look at me like they have never woke up before in their entire lives, right? No idea what to do next, right? So I have to ask him, "Are you going to eat some breakfast?" "Yeah, I'm just so tired." Okay. "You are not so tired you can't chew." Like, I know that. All right? I've been tired myself. I found a way to eat, right? I found a way. And so then you got to walk him through, like, getting some breakfast and everything. And Lord knows I'm probably going to have to fix it for him, all right? And that's okay. I love my kids, right? But I'll go through and then we'll be sitting there and everything, and because they're tired, I can tell you right now, they're going to start picking at each other, right? It's just going to happen. Y'all know this. It's just going to happen, right? And I'd say, "Hey, would y'all just be quiet and just eat your food? Just eat your food. That's all I need you to do. I don't need you to talk to each other. I don't need you to be happy. I just need you to eat your food. Just eat your food," right? Because I know what's coming next. As soon as they get done eating, they're going to disappear. Like, they didn't know that they needed to get dressed to go to school. And they're just gone somewhere. I don't even know where they go. There's like this magical room in our house where they just disappear to. They just disappear. And so then I have to go find them and say, "Are you dressed yet?" "Oh, not yet. I'm so tired," right? "Just get dressed. That's all I need you to do. I just need you to get dressed. Because if you don't get dressed, you're going to go to school looking like you do right now." I've said that actually multiple times. That's really not a joke. That is pretty motivating for some kids, by the way. I'll let you know that. So I just get dressed, right? Then they'll get dressed. They'll come back down. They'll be sitting on the couch like they have no idea what happens next, right? "Did you brush your teeth yet?" Because to brush their teeth, they got to go back upstairs, right? Gravity brought them all the way down. Now they got to fight gravity to get all the way back up, right? Oh, my goodness, like, "Can you just brush your teeth? That's all I need you to do. Just brush your teeth, right? Just brush your teeth." We will get everybody fixed up, ready to go. We'll get, in the van, which actually sometimes can be an ordeal all to itself, right? Because we'll get out, like, do you have your shoes on, right? Do you have your backpack, right? Do you have your lunch? Did you forget your lunch? Don't forget your lunch. Go back in and get your lunch. Come on, let's get. So then we'll get in the van. We'll be on our way. And I can tell you right now, somebody's going to say, hey, can you play this song? Can you play that song? Oh, I don't like that song, right? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I'm telling you right now, right? You can set your watch by it, right? And then they'll start arguing with each other about what they're listening to on the way to school, right? And so then it's just me saying, yeah, just be quiet. Just don't talk to each other. All I need you to do is just sit there. This is just a means of transportation. Just receive the transportation and go to school, right? You don't have to argue the whole way. Just go. Just chill. You were talking earlier about how tired you are and that you couldn't even chew. Now your mouth can't stop working, right? So we get to school. We will get to school. We will get to school. We'll finally let them out and let them go. Teachers, tag, you're it, right? Amen. All right. I will come back to the office here. Because it's the first day, I might actually go back and pick them up from school as well. And I can tell you what's going to happen when I do. I'm going to get there. They're going to get in the van. Actually, they're going to have to go around the van because our van door is broke. So they've got to go around to the other side of with the van door that actually works. Y'all pray for Beth on that one. And when they get in, the very first question is going to be, what snacks do you have? What snacks do you have? Right? What snacks do you have? All right, well, it's good to see you too. I'm glad you had a good day at school today. I had a great day in the office. Thank you very much. Right? What snacks do you have? And every single time I have to tell them, get your seatbelt on. Get your seatbelt. We can't leave. There's a whole line of people here behind us. They're waiting for you to put your seatbelt on. Can you please just, I don't need you to argue with me about the snacks. I don't care if your brother was in your way. I don't care if you stepped on a bag or whatever it is. I just need you to put your seatbelt on. Please put your seatbelt on, right? I wish I was joking. Like, I wish I was kidding about all this. I really do. Finally get that on, everything. How was your day? Fine. Oh, great. Good to hear it went so well. Glad I'm paying that tuition, right? What'd you do? Nothing. Right? You guys have had these conversations, right? You had these conversations. Then all of a sudden, one of them wants to start telling a story about what the other one did in school, probably not what they were supposed to be doing in school, right? Oh, well, so-and-so did this, and then they said, no, I didn't, yes, you did, and all this kind of stuff. Okay, we're going back to the being quiet. This is only transportation, no more talking in the van. We're just going home, don't talk, like, that's it, right? Just do me a favor, don't say anything. Just don't say anything. We will get home, and they will have homework. And you will think that they have never had homework before. Like, you will think that they have just moved from another world, right? And this world doesn't have homework ever in their lives. And all of a sudden now it's like, so then we've got to just do your homework. Come on. Okay, here's what I'm getting at here. I realize this seems like a very long story for a very short point. But if you recognize here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, it says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So God gave Moses some commands that he was supposed to pass on to the people. God has given us those very same commands, right? So we have the commands of God that are hovering over our lives, if you will, that are there to guide us and to protect us and all these kinds of things, right? And more often than not, and we're going to get to this here in just a moment, rather than me focusing my attention on the commands of God that he has set not only over me, but over my family and the way that we govern ourselves, more often than not, the only thing I'm really concerned about is if people would just do what I say. Ouch, right? Think about this, like, we have the commands of God, like, again, I want you you to recognize. I remember if you've ever heard of, I don't know if you've ever heard of Francis Chan. He spoke at an Exponential conference a couple years ago, and he was talking about just the awe of God that people felt here. And again, this is what I need you to recognize here. Like, these people were so in awe of God, like they didn't even want God to speak to them. Like it wasn't like, oh, you're my friend. Like, oh yes, God, we're buddies. Ha ha ha. Let's talk and chat all the time and everything. No, like they were so in awe of God and so fearful of the power of God. Like, they didn't even want God to talk to them because it might kill them because of their brokenness and their sinfulness. Like, they were just like, God, like, just talk through Moses, right? This is the God that has given us commandments and decrees and laws, not just to put us in line, but to protect our lives. And many times, instead of actually focusing my life on what those commands and laws are, all I'm focused on is getting people to do what I want them to. Do you see how self-centered that is? And I'm just telling my story now. I don't know how that might work itself out in your life, but I just began to get really convicted about the fact that, you know what, most of my day is just about getting people to do what I want them to. When I'm driving, I want people to get out of my lane, right? Come on, testify now. All right, right? I just want people to do what I want them to. Like, now watch this though. Here's the crazy part of this. And this is part of the scheme of the devil that we miss sometimes. And I just continue to pray to God, Lord, just show me the schemes that the devil is trying to use against me. Because when our lives are revolved around just getting people to do what we want them to do, our lives are not revolved around God and what he has commanded in our lives. Right? When life is all about just getting people to do what we want them to, whether it's our children or otherwise, right? When it's just about getting people to do what we want them to do, then we become the central focus of our lives, and we were never designed to be the central focus of our lives. Following my commands will probably never save my children's lives, right? It might keep them from getting grounded, but it's not going to save them for all of eternity, right? But so many times I just make it about what I want instead of about what God has actually passed down to me, right? Okay, so we have this in mind. Let's go on to verse 2 here. Verse 2 says, let me do this. Let me go back to verse 1. Let me reread verse 1 so we can go into verse 2. It says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all of his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. See, what we have to recognize is the way that we obey the commands of God is impacting the people around us. It's impacting our children. It's impacting our grandchildren, right? Even if you don't have children and grandchildren, I guarantee you that the way that you obey God is impacting the people around you, whether it's in your workplace or with extended family. Like, I just want you to know that however it is that you are obeying or even disobeying God's commands, you are impacting people around you. Like, and when I say this, part of what I want you to recognize is this is not like I don't want you to feel like the burden of, oh man, like I'm impacting people, so how in the world am I ever going to be able to do this? Like, what I want you to recognize is you have tremendous value and influence. Like even if you weren't trying to impact people, you're going to. Like, you don't have a million followers on social media in order to impact people's lives. Like, you are impacting people even if you don't want to. Come on, somebody now. Because there's some people that would just assume that, oh, well, nobody knows who I am and nobody's listening to what I say. And I just want you to know right now, that is a lie from the pit of hell, right? Because somebody's listening to you. Somebody's watching you. You are making an impact in somebody's life, even if you don't know who it is. You have tremendous value. So then, if we have this great question of do we have what it takes, and we have this great problem of kind of getting a little self-centered with our lives and everything sometimes, what if we recognize that the impact that we have around us is not just a burden that we carry, but it's actually an opportunity that we have to answer the question well. Do we have what it takes? The answer is yes. But watch this now. Because we don't have what it takes if our world is only centered around us. If our world is centered around us, then we're going to completely miss what God has for us in the way that he is actually building us up to have what it takes, right? We don't have it in and of ourselves. We have it through the work of Jesus Christ in us, right? And so we do, in fact, have what it takes to make a difference in people's lives. The question is, what kind of difference are we making? Are we using the value that God has given us in a way that will actually impact his kingdom? Or are we just trying to impact our own kingdom and just getting people to do what we want them to do? In our families, are we trying to just get people in line so that we look like we're supposed to or like other people think we ought to anyway? Or are we actually using our influence and impact in such a way that we're pointing people back to God and back to a relationship with Jesus Christ? Like we have before us the power to impact our families. It's already there. Like, you don't have to try. You don't have to work for it. Even whether you're saved or not, you are going to be impacting your families. Whether you walk with Jesus or not, you're going to be impacting your families. Whether the Holy Spirit guides you in your decision-making or not, you are going to be impacting your families. The question is, like, what if, let me look at it this way. What if we actually just decided that instead of our lives being about us, what if we just decided to surrender our lives to the will of God? What if we just decided to offer up whatever value we have, whatever influence we have, what if we just decided to offer that influence to God? That he might use it however he wanted to. That we wouldn't call the shots on that, that we wouldn't say, well, yes, but, you know, Lord, I'll give you this part, but come on now on this one right here, like, we're going to have to work something out on this over here, right? No, what if we just said, you know what, Lord, like I have this influence that I don't even know what to do with, and I'm just going to offer that to you, and I'm going to seek your direction on what do I do with this influence that you have given me? Wonder how that might change your life if you just ask that question to the Lord. Let me read verses 4 through 9, and then I'm going to get up out of here. Verse 4. And just so you know, for those of you that I'm sure are studying my sermons rather closely, back in, it was January, February or March, I think I actually preached on this text. Kathy, you remember that one. Praise God. All right. Amen. All right. She remembers all of them. I'm sure you do. And, but we're going to look at this text a little bit differently today, but let me read for you verses 4 through 9. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." When we talked about this before, we were talking about it in the context of love and how it is that we are to love God and what it means to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if you'd like to know more about that, I would encourage you to go to hfcog.org where you can listen to that sermon and hear all about it. That's not what we're going to do today. What I want you to recognize today is that in this very core scripture for Jewish faith, one of the foundational principles is that disciples were expected to make disciples. Okay, I want you to see this now. This is not a New Testament concept, right? This is not a Jesus concept. This is not a concept of Paul or the first century church. Like this idea of disciples making disciples, like this is foundational from the very beginning here. And what's interesting is that it seems like it is all focused around the home and the family. You see that? Here just in verses 4-9. In fact, it's interesting there in verse 7. It says to impress these commandments on your children. Impress them on your children. I became very captivated with that word, that word impress, right? That I know of, I think that this is the only place in Scripture where this particular word is mentioned. And it means like to teach, but it has this connotation to it. Really what it means is to repeat. You repeat, you repeat, you repeat, you repeat, you repeat, you repeat, right? Almost to the point where it gets annoying you've heard it so much, right? But we are to impress these things upon our children. Church, I want you to know that from the beginning of faith, right? From the beginning of Abram's call out to this land that he didn't know, even as Moses was leading people out of Egypt and into the wilderness and onto the promised land, the idea that disciples should make disciples was foundational. But what is also important about this is to recognize that the key environment in which this was to happen was in families and in homes, right? Like, the tabernacle was a great place to come and worship, but that's not where disciples are made. Disciples aren't made in the tabernacle. Disciples aren't made at the temple. No, disciples are made in the family, in the home, right? And so now, again, I want to make sure that we're catching verses 1 and 2 in the context of verses 4-9 here, right? Because we need to recognize that God has given us these commands that are there to protect us and empower us and lead us where we're supposed to go. And so long as we don't make it about us, like, he's got this thing for us, right? And according to verse 2, we have value to be able to impact other people's lives. Like, God has put that inside of us. It's innate inside of us, right? And so when God tells us to impress this upon our children, he is not giving us a task that we cannot accomplish. He has already empowered us to be able to do this. He has already set within us this innate way of thinking and living and believing that we would almost accidentally make this happen so long as God is central in our lives. Now watch this. Okay. So Moses gives the Israelites sort of the theory on how this is supposed to happen. And I'm just going to go through these just real quick here. One is that the Israelites were to love God, right? And so we see there even in verse 5 in particular, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Like your family ought to see you loving God, right? And if they don't see you loving God, then that's where you need to start. Like, if you really want to have an impact, if you want to have what it takes to make an impact for the kingdom of God in your family, where it starts is your love for God, right? You can't teach something that you don't have. You can't give something that's not in your hands. Like you've got to have that love yourself. And if you don't have it, I want to encourage you to seek after that with all of your heart. Like, go after God with all that you have. Start asking some questions. Get around people that you can study with and learn from and be mentored by. Like, someone that you can be discipled by, right? Get that stuff inside of you so that you not only have a knowledge of God, but that you have a love for God. But he also tells the Israelites here to talk about God. Talk about God. Like, I'm afraid to say something because I'm afraid of where it's going to take me with this and everything. Let me just say it this way. There are a lot of things that we commit a lot of our time to when it comes to what we talk about. Okay. Okay. If we're willing to commit that much time to stuff that really doesn't matter, like, maybe we could just be a little more intentional about committing ourselves to talking about God. Now, I get it. Like, sometimes you're like, well, I don't even know what conversations to have with my family. Like, if I wanted to talk to my wife about God, I wouldn't know where to start, right? Or if I wanted to lead my kids to Jesus, like, I don't even know where to go there. Like, how do I even do that, right? We're going to get to that here in just a moment. But the point is, we've got to start having conversations. Like, it's got to become a normal thing in our homes that we're talking about who God is. Right? The last thing that he mentions here, and he mentions it with symbols and writing stuff on walls and all this kind of stuff, or door frames on us. But I just want to just kind of summarize that to say we can't hide our faith, right? Like, we need to wear it like clothes, and we need to put it all over our homes. Like we can't hide our faith. We need to be out there. We need to be open with our kids and with everyone in our family, with people around us. Like, let's just be out there about our faith. Right? We don't have to hide it as for fear of what somebody else is going to think or say or do or whatever like that. Let's just tell people that we love Jesus and we love them. I don't know. That sounds sort of crazy. I know, but I think it's in the Bible somewhere that maybe that's what we're supposed to do, right? Like, so what if we just, instead of trying to be all cute and everything about how we work our faith into conversation and everything like that, what if we just wear it on our sleeve, right? Like we don't have to hate people to have Jesus on our sleeve. In fact, I would probably say if you are hating people, you ain't got Jesus on your sleeve. Amen. But what if we just came out about loving Jesus? Right? What if we just outed ourselves and wore it like a shirt? You know, put it on the door frame of our house so that when people walk into our house, they're like, oh, you one of those Jesus people. Yes, I am. Let me tell you about how Jesus people are supposed to be, right? I don't want to go too long into this, but the worship team, come on back up here, because if you're up here, I'll go faster. The question that we're wrestling through is, do we have what it takes? What I want you to know is that the very simple answer is yes, you do have what it takes, but not if your world revolves around you, right? If your world revolves around God and the commands that he has given you and the Savior that he sent for you and the Holy Spirit that can come alongside you and fill you, if that is the center of our lives, if he is the center of our lives, then we absolutely have what it takes because he is inside of us, right? But the question is, how do we do that? Like, how do we walk this thing out? How do we live that? How do we do it on like a day-to-day sort of thing? Well, this is where I'm really excited about the parent discipleship party that Pastor David was talking about earlier when we were doing announcements. Part of what that meeting is going to be next week is an opportunity for you as parents to connect with Pastor David and Pastor Sarah and hear a vision for how it is that you can be instrumental in the faith development of your children and grandchildren, your nieces, nephews, all kinds of, like, how can you impact your kids in your home today? That's part of what they're going to be talking about. And so for those of you who have kids in the children's ministry or students in the youth ministry, this is just where we're starting, all right? I just want you to know. For those of you that have kids in the children's ministry and students in youth ministry, we're inviting you to be a part of this, I call it a party, just because I think it is going to be a lot of fun, where you're going to come together and you're going to hear the two of them talk about how you can be empowered to actually impact your home in a godly way that shares with them the commandments of God and actually sets you up to be a positive influence in their spiritual lives. Like, how awesome would it be if you could know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're actually going to be a positive influence in your kids' spiritual lives? Like, there are times where I wonder, in fact, I say this out loud sometimes, where I think I probably need to just go ahead and invest in counseling for my children now, because I'm sure I'm messing them up in some ways that I will not be able to fix myself, right? But how awesome would it be if we had some resources and we had some relationships, we had some places where we could go, where we could learn how to make a positive spiritual impact in the lives of our kids? That's what this parent discipleship party is going to be all about next week. And what I'm going to do for the rest of this month is I'm actually going to talk about how we as a church body are going to be able to focus on family discipleship moving forward. Not just in a sermon series, but like as a church, like how do we move forward in doing this so that it's not just something that discipleship is left up to the pastor or the elders or something like that, but that each one of us might be able to make that kind of impact in our families. No matter how old or young our families might be, no matter whether they're close or far or whatever. But the first step is that we've got to make sure that our lives are not centered around us. Our lives are centered around Him. So I want you to stand with me if you would, please. And as we sing couple of songs here, I want to challenge you to really evaluate, what is your life centered around? Is life really just about getting people to do what you want? Or is your life really about doing what God has called you to do in a way that would honor Him? Maybe you've never surrendered your life to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't even know what that means, but you've heard something today that just says, you know what? I need something beyond what I have right now. I want you to know I would love to pray with you and to lead you into a relationship with Jesus that you could have everything so that when the devil comes back to you and says, do you have what it takes? You can respond to the devil with every ounce of truth and say, yes, because I have Jesus. Is your life centered around Him today? As we sing, I want you to respond to Him. These altars are open for you. Come and receive from Him today.